As we get ready to study the second chapter of Daniel, let's consider some texts that provide background for understanding the events in Daniel 2. We'll be looking at two texts from the Old Testament and then three different texts from the ancient Near East. The first is the account of Joseph before Pharaoh in Genesis 41. There are several parallels between the characters and the accounts of Joseph and Daniel. In fact, I think the author of Daniel purposely draws out these parallels so that we consider the two stories together. Like Daniel, Joseph spent a good portion of his life in exile, that is, living in Egypt. During that time, Joseph also spent a good portion of his time in prison. His ticket out of jail came when Pharaoh had a series of bad dreams that his wise men were unable to interpret. Pharaoh's cupbearer remembered his encounter with Joseph in prison when he had a troubling dream and Joseph had interpreted it. So Pharaoh called Joseph in, and Joseph said that he was not able to interpret dreams, but his God could do it through him, which he then did. Pharaoh's assessment at the end of the day was that there was no one quite like Joseph, in whom, he said, is the spirit of the gods. Many centuries later, the prophet Isaiah spoke comfort to God's displaced people. Throughout chapters 40 to 66, Isaiah reminded them of what their God is like. Namely, he's unique. Israel's God is unlike any gods of the nations. Gods made of silver and gold. Gods that had to be hauled around or nailed to the floor to keep them upright. Gods that were unable to explain the past or reveal what was to come. By contrast, Israel's God was the only wise one. He knows and reveals the future. Power and wisdom belong to him. And yet he bestows them on humans. All other gods are helpless before him, and one day all rulers will wither before him. Isaiah says it like this: no sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Isaiah says there is comfort in such a God. So these are two Old Testament texts that specifically inform our reading of Daniel 2. But there are also several texts from the ancient Near East that give us a bigger picture. The first two show us how the ancient people viewed knowledge and the degree to which it was accessible to humans. In A History of Babylon, written by a 3rd century BC priest named Berosus, we find the myth of Adapa, Wise One. Adapa was a prehistoric beast, one of seven such beasts that were called demigods, the Apkallu. These Apkallu were created by the god of intelligence, whose name was Enki. Enki sent the Apkallu to give knowledge to humans. Adapa was the one tasked with giving people the gift of writing, science, architecture, law, math, and agriculture, knowledge that had previously only belonged to the gods. So all this knowledge was passed down from the gods to humans. But the gods didn't share all knowledge. They retained some for themselves, knowledge of the future, and knowledge of certain secrets. But here's what we care about with respect to Daniel 2. While such knowledge was not given to humans per se, the gods made it available to people who knew how to get it. This process or this skill is known as divination. It's the means by which humans divine or acquire knowledge from the realm of the gods. Divination was done in a variety of ways, such as reading animal entrails, deciphering...